This is a continuation of the interview with Ellen Moore. It's now the 19th of July, 1988. And as I understand it, you're going to continue. When we left off last time, you had talked about the fact that you were buried and what you were doing and weren't thinking about tenure possibilities and that sort of thing. So I'd just like you to carry on from there.
Mm-hmm. Would you just say the end of that again?
That I'd like you to carry on from there.
Yeah, that I got. What did you say about tenure?
Well, that you were relatively inexperienced and hadn't thought about the importance of tenure track and of preparing yourself for getting on tenure.
Right.
Is that right?
Well, as the time went by and I began to think about the whole tenure challenge, I just recognized that it was something that I didn't think I could do because I just was not willing to tear myself apart and ignore the fact that I had children, that I was an only parent for however many years it would take. And I also felt that the setup in the department wasn't going to encourage me at anything I might choose to do. They had already discouraged me from choreography, saying, we don't want you to choreograph. I could have gone outside the department and insisted. I didn't know that writing for tenure...
What do you mean?
Oh, done things in the community and... going through the hassle of finding special setups for producing dance outside of the department. If you choreograph for little theater productions, for instance, or for the Wisconsin Players, that they dismissed achievements that I felt I had done as service. They didn't consider it as art work at all. And I was also naive about the sort of thing that gets published that counts for tenure. I had not practiced writing for publication in the way that has to be done to look like it's qualified to consider for tenure points either. So, I mean, I think the fact that I was out of the university for a long time, I didn't come up through being a TA and an instructor and all that stuff. I didn't learn these things gradually one at a time. They were just suddenly all facing me. And I was on 6 or 7 committees at a time, steadily. That they put me on, knowing I was on the tenure track and not making any effort to take care of me whatsoever. If I didn't know enough to say no, they needed to know enough to say, this doesn't make any sense if this woman is going to have any time or energy to get into that other mode that you have to be in to make dances.
Well, do you think, did they expect you to think about tenure? Do you know?
I'm suspicious they didn't. I'm suspicious that it was handy to have me there, and the tenure track position was the one. And they knew I had 3 children, and that I was an only parent. And it was cheaper for them to have somebody on at that salary level, and then have her disappear and start someone else over, which they did over and over after I was there, without giving them tenure either, and letting them go sooner. I don't know. I don't think I presented myself to them as a person who knew exactly what the tenure track meant and what I was going to do, and they I think were quite aware that I had no idea just how monumental this tenure effort was. I think maybe tenure requirements had been stepped up just about the time I arrived. I mean, Warrington easily got tenure by just doing what he always did. what I always did was teach. Mm. And that's, and teaching well has been my challenge in my life. And you can just go right on endlessly trying to figure out what good, how you do good teaching. And I feel that that really was my contribution. And but to set about and scientifically write up something with data showing that this works and this doesn't work, that was not my cup of tea at all. I had a totally artful attitude toward it. I was doing it. It was my oeuvre. And to try to tell anyone else how to do it my way did not seem very possible either. Although I did teach the classes of teaching dance to children and shared a whole lot of theory about teaching with those students, and a lot of them found it very valuable and wrote me messages to that effect. And went with their banners flying to say, Ellen is an invaluable teacher and this is needed, there's nothing like it in the department. If it goes, it's gone, and as far as we can tell, this is the essence of the Dober heritage. But nobody wanted to listen. And I think the PE people didn't know what the Dober heritage was really in their bodies. They may have known something about it in their heads. And the dance people were all each looking out for their own interests as far as I could see. And not coming in, they had no idea what the experience of being in my classes was. They don't know what it felt like and what it did to the psyche to be in there doing our process. They simply came in, and if it wasn't exactly like Dober, they said, it's not like Dober. Mm. And then they had picky little things that they felt were wrong with it. It was a strange process. I'm baffled to this day. I can't relate to it. I came in and I think I did something valuable. They decided it wasn't valuable. That was all. I did what I could to satisfy what they thought I should do. I did write some. They dismissed what I wrote as not academic enough. Mm-hmm. Although the Committee on Research on Dance published the thing I wrote about Dober in there. Did I give you a copy of that? It might be in
some
here.
Some things, but...
Published it and felt that it was very valuable. Mm-hmm. And people from across the country wrote me letters and said they were terribly thankful that I'd written it. And that's what I wrote for that little funny piece. Did I bring you that? I must have brought you all this stuff. I did.
Yes, you did. It's
yeah. Oh, this is mine.
It's yours.
It's my file. I see. Okay. Yeah. So you've seen that article. But I couldn't do it. There wasn't any way I could do enough. I felt too obliged to stay connected with my kids.
Did you have anybody in the department that you were close to and could talk to?
No, not really. I was probably closer to Louise than anyone, but she was not supporting me. She said, don't choreograph. She wasn't thinking about what tenure was.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't thinking at all about what I needed to do to get tenure. She didn't appreciate particularly the article I wrote about Marge. She didn't ever say anything to me that told me that she thought it was a contribution, an important contribution. But she was burned out.
Mm-hmm.
She was not very responsive to much of anything that I recall. She was tired. I don't think she ever lost her ability to look at dances and say whether she liked them or not. She did not like my choreographic experiments either. They departed too far from what she felt was the way dances should be built. And I didn't do a whole lot. You know, I did not begin to produce the body of work that people expect of, I mean, this horrendously impossible body of work that is expected of people on the tenure track. I mean, Claudia is overwhelmed, and she had much more to bring to the challenge of choreography than I did. And she has to somehow get a big enough support group to help her raise the money, to take her group to New York, hope the critics come, hope they write something positive about her work. And she has no way of knowing if that's going to be enough. And she has to do that more than once. She has to show, if she's not writing, then she has to keep producing dances and keep getting top-notch criticism. I find that just absurd, that any one human being should have to go through that. And it's killing her. It killed her marriage, dead in the water. And maybe it's not killing her. It certainly did kill her marriage, and she feels, when I talk to her, she is just terribly overwhelmed at what she has to somehow accomplish. And she has done, she has a support group. They do try to help her raise money. They do have their receptions in the fall, and they try to bring entertainment to make people come, to bring them money. And I mean, the whole process is just, I guess artists do have to work that hard to produce their work. I guess that's one of the cruel realities of the art world. If she weren't in the university, she'd have to be doing it outside the university somehow, if she wanted to make a living that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if wanted people to come, she would have to be produced. She wouldn't have to, and of course eventually if they want to be produced, they also want to tour the country, and I guess, and they get their agents, and I don't know how it all works. It's bigger than I am.
Do you remember who was coming on the faculty during that period that you were teaching?
Who was coming on the faculty? We had a series of visiting artists. We had a position that we used for rotating visiting artists.
Mm-hmm.
The students liked that. And I made a note here to point out part of the attitude in the dance, we'll call it department, although it wasn't official, about choreography and about, I mentioned earlier on the other tapes that Anna was the official choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And the attitude in the dance department was that we didn't need any others. Which, if you translate that to the art department and say we have one artist, we don't need to put anybody else on the wall.
Yeah.
How long those people would stick around. When the visiting artists came, they had to scrounge around. They were not encouraged to make dances or produce dances either. And they were absolutely astounded when they got here and found that out. And they had to put on very casual performances. They had to go out, find a place to do it. They got very little help. And so it wasn't just me, it was the bother of having very much going on. So that is kind of a description of the degree of burnout.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to know any of them?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I got to know them quite well, actually. See, Claudia came and went. Claudia and I have always had a good relationship. So you asked me who I felt close to. I admired Mary Fee when I first joined the faculty. Later, I felt that she disapproved of what I did and was not interested in supporting me in my classes at all. I gave Louise and Mary some of the first feedback I got from the students, voicing spontaneously what they were getting from being in my classes. The feedback was given back to me. There was no comment from either of them. No reaction. That's pretty discouraging. At that point, I didn't imagine myself as a threat. I was new to teaching at the university. I had to learn everything. I gave it to them to say, look, it looks like maybe I'm doing a good job. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful, you know? And I assumed they would be very pleased. I got no answer. I just got the stuff back in my mailbox. And my morale dropped notches. And I thought, well, wait a minute, what is going on? Anna was friendly and amusing. She's mainly interested in her own work. Tibor, I felt nothing in common with. He taught his ballet classes. He was interested in ballet. I was interested in modern dance. He was interested in expanding the program and letting the ballet program get bigger and bigger. I didn't see how we could handle that, since it seemed like we couldn't handle what we already had. And so I didn't vote for things that he wanted. If I had been politic, I would have tried to find something I could vote for. I wasn't. I was being very honest. I knew what I thought was important, or what I didn't think was important. And so I wasn't making friends who were gonna back me up.
So these are at department meetings.
I think Louise and I
were allowed to, even though you were just what was your time? You were an assistant professor, I suppose. But you could be in on decisions like that.
Yeah, we all voted. I was rarely told I shouldn't vote. I mean, there were so few of us who had tenure. But actually, in terms of the size of our group, we had a rather large percentage of tenured professors. I remember that Tibor got tenure while I was there at some point.
You didn't get to vote on his tenure, though?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. But he got to vote on mine, mm-hmm. because he had tenure. Mm-hmm. And I think Louise and I had the same values. I think we agreed with each other most of the time on most things. And I think Buff, Brennan, and I agreed with each other most of the time. And I felt perfectly comfortable about going into Louise's office and talking about things that I was concerned about, and into Buff's. Buff and I were on a lot of committees together. It was not hard for me to talk to the people who taught dance therapy, and I supported them utterly in getting that therapy major. I supported the choreographic part of the major. There were students who wanted me on their committees to help them make their dances. I was very glad to do it. I liked that. I considered it a very large responsibility. I had three children at home. I was not free to socialize very much with anybody. None of us went out of the building for lunch that I was ever aware. It was into the smoky kitchen. And I didn't go in very much because I didn't like the smoke, and I didn't drink coffee. I didn't like being crowded. It was always crowded.
People, you mean, went in and heated up soup? Or?
And there was always this terrible pile of stuff that I kept pulling out of my mailbox that I was supposed to be processing and responding to, and to just go in and chat for an hour every day. Also, I had classes I was about to teach that I had to think about. I can remember, I must have had a 120 fairly regularly, because I remember that I often gave part of my lunchtime to sitting on the floor and thinking about some more about what I was going to do in the class. So I didn't I didn't do the thing that I saw my husband doing of nurturing alliances with people. He was a fairly political creature anyway. He knew the value of that very early. And we gave parties that he considered important, and it was part of that effort. But I had more than I could do to do my work and go home and have anything left for my kids. And I was on all those committees, and we had all those committee meetings, and we filed all those committee reports. And none of it seemed to do anything. None of it seemed to accomplish a thing. It just felt like so much down the tube.
What made you think that Louise Klepper and, what was it, Mary Fee, thought of you as a threat? You mentioned that possibility.
If they felt insecure about their own teaching, anybody would be a threat who got messages back from their students exuding about the kind of room for growth they were finding in my classes. And I was off the pedestal as the teacher. I was setting aside time in class for them to write down something they found particularly exciting about being in the class, and something they didn't like about the class. That was coming off the pedestal, taking negative feedback from students and processing it and finding out better what they were thinking. And the trouble is, the students went into other classes wanting that kind of exchange between teacher and students and feeling very empowered by what they were getting in my class. And I mentioned the other tape. At first they complained because I gave them choices in class in doing movement problems, and they were used to the dictator teacher who says, do this and this and this and this exactly this way, right foot now, left foot then, this many, exactly this many counts. That was not Dober style, but that's what the students were used to who came in as dance majors. And my class was much more loosely structured, and they felt that I'd pulled the rug out from under them, have all this shifty stuff going on. I was trying not to pull it out. You know, I was trying to, I was respecting where they came from and trying to not overwhelm them with a new way. This, of course, is me, a new university teacher who'd never taught in a university before, trying to, and having not taught college-age people. I had taught some adults in the community who were dancers, who liked my classes. I taught the teenagers a lot for the department. So I was busy. I was sweating every moment in class trying to figure out how to put it all together. And so Louise and Mary got wind of this from comments students would make to them. And they found it not reassuring. And they probably thought I was giving the student students too many choices, but I don't know for sure. But that's they probably just basically disagreed with my teaching a loose class. Mm-hmm. I don't think of Louise's classes as tight classes, though, but they were pretty specific. Mary's, I'm sure, were very specific. But I think they could feel me bringing in the Gestalt of the 70s, and they were scared of it. They had a lot of personal problems, and they saw me dealing with mine, which were huge, because of the divorce process going on. I was trying very hard to keep that part of my life out. But I'm sure I was wearing it, whether I wanted to or not, on my face. And I had powerful psychotherapy in California that summer before I came. I had no idea how powerful when I went out there, what I was going to encounter. I'd never had it before. Yes, I had. I had talked to a psychiatrist in town about the problems that were leading up to the divorce. But his system was very different from the very active psychotherapists that I encountered in California through what I felt was a very reliable connection. And this was probably having a lot to do with the way I was answering questions. But getting me out of the building didn't help, because all the people who came after me came in with that gestalt too. Because it was definitely around by then. So I think between not being able to produce a big body of work, having to use a lot of my energy for a long and drawn-out divorce proceeding, having to discover how to be an only parent, how to run my house, how to do everything I was doing, was just too many. It was not a time for me to be on the tenure track. And if I had been in their shoes, I might not have felt that. I would have said, this is not the body of work that we are expecting, probably. But if somebody had just said, we know that you haven't choreographed a lot, but why don't you do this? And if they had encouraged me at all in steps, I think I might easily have found myself as a choreographer, and probably not to the extent, though, needed. I don't think I was a good choice for the tenure track. And I told them so over the phone, you know, when they were making the decision. I did apply for it, and no one talked about tenure track. I just said that if teaching children was the big thing they were looking for, that I wasn't very experienced at it at all. I'm not sure what I should have been called. I think I was very qualified in ways that were very important to the students. But in terms of the university hierarchy, I don't think I was.
Did you see then the origins of the problems that the dance department has had recently?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we talked about that some last time. We talked about the alcohol being around. And that I felt that was a major problem for Louise.
And I mean of the present group.
The present group of faculty?
Mm.
Yes, because Anna was on the faculty when I was on the faculty. You and I talked about my not being on the faculty during the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that I wasn't getting an inside view then. I was just hearing casual comments that people I knew were making. I knew a woman who was perhaps a TA or an instructor. I'm not sure what her... It was probably a TA because she was working on her master's degree, I think. Might have been an instructor. Maybe she had her master's degree in music. I'm afraid I don't remember what Nancy Miller's status was exactly, but she was teaching in the department under whatever category, and she saw a lot that she felt was wrong, that was not healthy, that added up to no leadership and no enthusiasm for new ideas. I talked to her the most to Louise coming into class and not being in good shape for teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I said that last time. The thing that I was thinking about all of this, what went wrong, there was no one, that, as I recall, who really had a sense of the overall future of the program and where it was going, and the long-term well-being of the program. There was just Tibor nitpicking about his ballet program, Anna nitpicking about her particular province, Louise being tired, and Mary, I don't remember, I don't have any sense of long range. Who else was there? Buff had a tremendous amount of administrative ability. And she carried a huge load, and part of the time she was working on her doctorate, and she was also trying to carry quite a lot of committee load, as I recall. So
Easton, Hawes, Remley.
Remley, I don't think of as part of our faculty. She was in PE. Easton was not teaching any of the major courses. She was teaching dance to PE majors, I think.
Lonnie Gordon came in 1975, but
he took my position.
I
mean, that was my slot that he filled. So, if this is a confidential tape, Lonnie has huge personal problems, and the students found that, and very few students enjoyed being in his classes. And Lydia went in with a very positive attitude, saying, I am going to get what this man has to teach me, and I'm not going to let myself get be thwarted by whatever his own problems are. But eventually, she did that, and she tried it, and she tried to stay above the departmental muck as best she could, but she finally really had her fill, and she probably told, I don't know if she told you about all that, but I know that she gave up trying to have a positive attitude in his class. He was insulting. He was not very supportive. He put her in the wrong places because of the shortages that were beginning to develop of students and classes not being offered because there weren't enough students. Therefore, she was put where she didn't belong because of those problems. And then criticizing her severely because she wasn't up to where he thought the class should be. And she got very tired of hearing the various faculty members being critical of each other in the classes, in front of the students. She felt that was just totally, I mean, she was extremely aware of the warfare that was going on as the time that she put in lengthened. She really got her fill of it. But I just think it was that absence of someone who had the ability to be a strong leader was just the demise of the department.
You must have been quite familiar with the art department because your husband was associated with it. How would you compare them? I mean, do you think there was such a sense of leadership in the art department?
No, I don't come to think of it. They all had their terrible schisms, teams that ganged up against each other. Warrington didn't like to talk about it. When he got home, that was the last thing he wanted to talk about. Once in a while, he'd make a comment. So I didn't hear about that in much detail. But I was aware that there were people that there were parties over there, too. But somehow or other, those men knew how to drag themselves through it and go on as a department. And also, their chairman changed quite a lot. They rotated that chairmanship quite a lot. And that may have been a very smart thing to do. No one got entrenched and mired down. They were all practicing artists. If Louise had really thought of herself as a choreographer, but she, you see, I think really thought of herself mostly as a teacher, too. But if she had thought of herself as a choreographer and really wanted to make dances, she would not have been willing to be stuck in the role of chairperson that long. Of course, Marge was not a choreographer either, but her artistry was in keeping the whole thing working. If Louise had wanted to get out and had insisted that somebody else do it, then that might have saved something. But there weren't very many alternatives. Not very many people had tenure. They had to have tenure to be chair. No one could picture Anna as being a cherished sword. I think people feared the sort of chair that Tibor might be. And there just weren't enough options to mm-hmm. keep it healthy. And the people who got hired to be on that faculty did not have leadership ability, any of them. There were people, though, who went through. Molly Lynn was on the faculty. She had tons of leadership ability. They didn't keep her. She knew how to write. She knew how to write requests. She knew how to go and ask for things. She knew how to choreograph. Students liked her classes for the most part. She was not kept. I don't understand that to this day. It was her position that I applied for. She confronted them and said, and tried to get a sense of whether or not they were going to give her tenure, and the sense she got was strongly negative. Unfortunately, there is a personality element that enters the picture always. And it certainly was very powerful in this group. And nobody was keepable. Judy Gray wasn't. Judy A. Judy, the other Judy, who was there at the same time as Judy Gray. His name I can't think of at the moment. They both had PhDs. They weren't keepable. They were people too. They had their strong points. They had the things people liked about them, the things people didn't like about them, like we all do. John Wilson, I don't know if he ever applied for a position. He went off and was chairman of the department at the University of Arizona. I think he had a lot of smarts and abilities in these places. They didn't keep him. I'm not sure there was a position open that he ever applied for. But they could have spotted that and thought about it when Molly left. Maybe he didn't want to move. He was at Utah. He wasn't happy there. He went to Arizona. I don't know if he could have been had at some point here. I don't have any information that tells me they were looking for anybody strong.
Yeah. Did you have anything to do with it you wouldn't have with the theater department? I mean, you yourself.
I choreographed a lot of their musicals.
You did?
Uh-huh. I choreographed, before I was on the faculty, I choreographed Oklahoma, Annie Get Your Gun. When I was on the faculty, I choreographed Oklahoma again. I choreographed a television thing that they did maybe a summer when I, a fall when I was, maybe it was that one, that was that year when I came on leave of absence from Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
We did a liaison thing with the art department. And that's partly how I got to know Warrington. The art department was providing the set pieces, and we were doing it for television. I guess the theater department wasn't involved. Warrington was looking for a vehicle for his students in stage design. And I guess that was after I knew him. And no, the theater department was doing Medea. That was it. And I was doing I've got two television things mixed up together. And the Medea thing is a great big elaborate thing. And I was doing the choreography of the chorus. And so I worked with the theater department then too. And I worked with the theater department with Sybil Robinson during interim sessions in the spring. A few years running where we were combining voice and movement. The other notes, if you want me to go on with my notes,
okay.
Laura, that I made are really emphasizing. We talked about the dance program being the little sister of the PE, the women's PE, mm-hmm. before we were merged. And the fact that we were not able to represent ourselves on the Hill, but they always did it for us. And the fact that we were not encouraged to ask for any money for anything. And so if we might ask for a drum, or we might ask for a new blackboard, or a, but that's about the size of what I wrote. We must have been allotted some costume money, but we were always making do with what was in the closet as much as we could. Anna got on to how to tap the anonymous fund, mm-hmm. and other, maybe there was a university fund, other funds that she figured out how to get for some of her production costs. And her production costs were escalating as she got into mixed media and producing video behind her dances. We did need space. I think we went to the space committee on campus and asked for space, and all they had to offer was classroom sorts of things with the chairs piled in the corners. Mm-hmm. And that is no setting for teaching dance classes. It's not big enough, and it's also not, it would be very hard from the standpoint of morale to go into that kind of a space to teach a dance class. It took a magician to schedule all of our classes in the spaces we had, and I know because I was the one who did it. And I began to schedule classes at weird off-schedule times to try to, I don't know, somewhere or other I thought that solved something. I don't remember what at the moment, but it was very hard. And then, I don't know at what point, I think maybe it was shortly after I left, the population began to fall off drastically. And mm-hmm. then we had just begun to put into practice an auditioning kind of process, because we simply couldn't take that many students with the facilities that we had. And I think that was still going on when I left, but I think it was dropped very, very quickly thereafter. We might have used the stage in the music building, in the old music hall, mm-hmm. some. I don't remember scheduling. Maybe we moved any rehearsals out of the building, or some of them, so we could have space that was being used for rehearsals for classes. I don't really remember scheduling classes over there, but I know that we had access to that space for a while. So we had this begging for budget from the PE people in the building, and then no representation on the Hill. And the no long range. The attitude of Louise toward the visiting artists about choreography. Mm-hmm. And they're scrounging around trying to figure out. They put some of their dances into the music hall space before it was remodeled, and mm-hmm. before it seemed to be Carlos's province so completely. They didn't keep Molly Lynn. These were all thoughts I was thinking, trying to figure out what went wrong, because you've told me that's what you were really trying to find out. Mm-hmm. See, for at least half of what I said that day, I did not realize that that was the focus of what we were doing. And you may have done that on purpose.
I thought that was the only thing, but it was in the end, it was the question for now.
I thought that because the department was folding, you were simply collecting information from anyone who had a fair amount about any aspect of it. So mm-hmm. that's what my direction was. And it was very close to the end, I think, that you said what went wrong in the 60s, and we were trying to figure that out. There were some very gifted people who went through, and none of them were kept, and they all went away to do very impressive things other places. Uh-huh. Molly and John were two examples. Nancy Miller was another, and Jerry Glover was another. Jerry was married and went west with her husband. But Jerry was very strong. They had asked her to stay on because of her very innovative choreography. Her husband might have been willing to stay.
I see.
Because he finished his internship or residency and had to go find a place to practice. Nancy Miller left with her husband. They probably would have gone where he needed to go, so she might not have been able to stay. Molly Lynn most certainly could have stayed. My hunch is that if they wanted John Wilson, he'd have, if they saw him as a good possibility, there's every likelihood that he might have stayed. I think he hoped to stay on at Utah and be a part of that very thriving department. And when that didn't work out, he created his strong department at the University of Arizona. So that is the end of the comments I wrote down, trying to fill in any gaps I can.
Okay.
You want me to say that again?
Yes, I wonder if you have any comments to make about dance in the city or the state. And you said you were on the Wisconsin mm-hmm. Dance Council.
Mm-hmm. For quite a while. I think that that the founder of that, of Wisconsin Dance Council, Virginia Weiler, was a very motivated person with far-reaching concern about the healthy survival of modern dance. And she applied for a position in the department, too, at one point, and they didn't consider her very seriously. Marge sent a very good, strong recommendation. She was another strong administrator sort. Virginia has really been the guiding angel of Wisconsin Dance Council all this time. I think the most important thing I did on the board was to support Virginia, who wanted to try to set up a system of supporting education of PE teachers around the state, and wanted to establish a kind of curriculum guide to try to standardize a little bit or set goals for people who might be teaching dance. I think she and some other people worked very hard on that, and she thanks me every time I see her for supporting her and getting the support of the board for her to do that. Mm. And I felt that that was the sort of thing she had in mind. She had the administrative motivation to try to figure out how to do it. Turned out to be a very big project. It's still very much alive. And she needed to do that, and she has done it. It would have to be that sort of person who would do it. I think that the Dance Council had its biggest reason for existing when modern dance was still pretty young in the state. We had workshops, we organized workshops in various parts of the state in various aspects of dance, and brought people there to teach classes in hopes of exposing more people to various kinds of dance activity. And then as the Department of Milwaukee grew, and this department grew, and there was a department at Stevens Point, and then a department at Green Bay, there seemed to be less need, and maybe also less turnout for those workshops. They were a lot of work. It was hard to put them when the driving weather was good. We had to consider that. And slowly, the workshop offerings were fewer and fewer. And what did we turn our focus to at that point? One annual meeting a year, bringing people from the different colleges and universities together. Mm-hmm. The first couple were very good. I say that without quite being able to remember one from the other, but that's my recollection, was that they're very good, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. Oh, and in those days, people were invited from around the state to teach at those workshops, and I think most of us felt honored to be asked. And then to make everything easier, they became less special, more a product of the particular community. It turned out to be more and more in Madison. People were not asked ahead to teach. Whoever was available was sort of solicited on the spot and without much warning and lead time. And I remember saying at the meetings that the whole thing seemed special as long as publicity was given to who was going to teach well in advance, so that people said, oh yeah, I'm going to go over there and do that because so-and-so is teaching and so-and-so is teaching. Once it became kind of humdrum and mechanical, and nobody was able to find out more than even a week ahead of a conference, it became less and less special, and the people from Milwaukee quit coming over here. There was criticism from the people running the conferences that the Milwaukee people did a lousy job the year they did it. It wasn't obvious to me they did a lousy job. But the person on the Wisconsin Dance Board who was most in charge of all the wheels turning felt they had not done a good job. She had a way of looking much more closely because of her position with the outreach program. So gradually the whole thing just seemed to dry up, and we still have these annual meetings and they're still pedestrian. You still don't know ahead of time who's teaching. When I've been asked to teach, it's been very close to the event and makes me feel like I must be the last, you know, surely I'm not the first person they've asked at this late date. They aren't well attended, I don't think. I haven't made a survey, I haven't gone around. And the technique classes may be well attended, but nothing else. I haven't done research on that. It might be slightly inaccurate, but that's the impression that I have. When I go over there, I don't see a whole lot of people looking happy and excited about coming in from out of town to spend a big day. I hardly see any bodies in the hall at all. So I have a feeling that not much is happening. Let's see, Wisconsin, in the city and in the state. This dance is thriving in the city. And being carried along by people who aren't struggling with the patriarchal hierarchy of the university. They are simply figuring out how to do their own thing. They have backers and they get money and they get their studios and they compete for students and they give their concerts, and really quite a lot is happening, and the State Street Center is the latest addition to that that's going on up at the top of State Street.
You're an extension. You teach mm-hmm. an extension, is that mm-hmm. right? Has the latest events in extension affected you at all?
The latest events.
Incorporation into departments and integration and
no.
unintegration.
Mm-mm. The dance program in extension has not been incorporated at all into the dance department.
Why not?
I don't know.
Was it ever discussed?
Not with me, it wasn't.
I
don't know who discussed it. Well, Karen Cowan is the executive or the responsible for the dance program in extension. Mm-hmm. And I think she's done, she has certainly expanded the program to include every conceivable kind of dance, all of which I think has taken students away from the initial several dance courses that were offered. As soon as you can choose between ballet, jazz, ballroom, belly, tap, you know, not everybody's going to come into modern because it's the main offering.
So you've lost students.
I've lost students, and aerobic was a big deal the year that hit. My class suddenly dropped from 40 down to 10. It was an impressive drop. She has expanded the dance program. It may not have done my program, my classes, a whole lot of good, but mm-hmm. But on the other hand, she has not let my classes die, and she has helped me keep them going, and she's been very supportive. And so there are, I think, a lot of people taking dance classes in extension. And so that is certainly another area of dance activity. And some of the dance majors came out into extension to take my classes. Some were sent by dance faculty, namely Claudia, recommending that certain people with certain problems came into my class and work on them there, because she knew I could help them.